morning, everybody. Now, I can't really remember how it happened, but somewhere over the past few years, we affectionately started to call our house Fort Douglanator. And I thought that was quite fitting, but because in life, we are constantly facing battles and challenges and different kinds of enemies. So, towards the end of last year, beginning of summer, a new enemy had arrived. We saw little signs of these guys invading our territory. By the time we got back from our Christmas holiday, it was official. Lacius Niger had arrived. There should be a... There they are. The common black ant. I think they call him common because they're everywhere. They're just everywhere. And we have tried everything to get these guys out. And if I say we, I mean he. Because while Andre is trying Doom and Bygone and Fedona and Blue Death and everything you can think of, the three of us are constantly setting test areas, little crumb areas, dirty dishes and cups to see if Hanre's latest strategy has worked. So one morning, I was up first as usual, and I was collecting all our test cups from the night before, and I got to the lounge and I saw the leftovers of our cake emergency of the previous night. And I didn't have to switch on the light to know that Lacius Niger was going to run up and down my arm. So I just pick it up to take it to the kitchen, and no ants. Could it be? And I was so surprised. And then about 10 minutes later, I could officially confirm that finally, after about 3 months, we have achieved success. Because on the kitchen counter, we saw our army in legions, organized, on their way to the cake plate. We have successfully trained them to wait for their food in the kitchen. Now this morning, we're not going to talk about ants. But we are going to talk about a well-known story. A story that I didn't really understand the fuss that was made about the story while I was growing up. But in the story, we will find a trained people. People that were trained to look for the signs to feed their desires. Let's pray for us. Father God, this morning we want to listen to your message. We want to hear what you want to have to tell us. We are going to open a well-known story, Father God, but we don't want to remember something that someone once said. This morning we want a fresh message. And I ask you to prepare our hearts, to prepare our minds, to prepare our souls and our spirits. Amen. So you can open your Bible with me if you are a paper person in Luke 19. Or Matt can flick there on his app. Oh, he's a paper person. Luke 19. And if you want to, you can also keep your finger at John 12. But we're going to start in Luke 19, verse 28. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Now, at this time in history, the Roman Empire stretched from Spain all the way to the end of India. And in this whole part, this part of this modern world, of all the people groups and nations that were there, there was only one nation that refused to submit under the authorities of the Romans. One nation that would not bow down to the emperor. And that was a stiff-necked people, a stubborn people, the Jews. And they were situated in Judea, which were almost in the middle of this. And most of their activities were centralized around Jerusalem. So the Romans, in their just efforts to get these people in line, appointed a pit bull over them, Pontius Pilate. He didn't live in Jerusalem, but very close by. So whenever there was a Jewish festival, he would make sure to go there ahead of time. He will arrive in all his pompousness, entering from the west because he lived on that side, entering from the west on horseback, sending servants ahead, trumpets, flags, banners, soldiers, to tell these Jews that he is in authority. He is the authority, and to keep them from doing anything stupid. So we have Pontius arriving into Jerusalem from the west, and Jesus coming down Mount of Olives on the east. And in the middle, we have the crowds, the stubborn people, the stiff-necked Jews. They grew up with the Torah. They knew the prophecies. They knew the Old Testament. They didn't call it then. That was the only word. But they knew it. They knew where to look for the signs of their coming Messiah. And we read of different crowds here in John 12. The first one we read of is a crowd of people who heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they were already there waiting for him. They heard Jesus coming to the festivities, and they were waiting for his arrival. Then there was another crowd coming with Jesus. So apart from his normal crowd, the women that traveled with him, his disciples, some of the previous tax collectors, another crowd accumulated round about when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So Jesus is coming down the Mount of Olives with a crowd into an already crowded city. The historian Flavius Josephus said, usually the population would be about 400,000 people. This specific Passover is when Jesus was crucified. This specific Passover, the numbers were way above 1 million people. So just see this picture. Jesus coming down visibly, and the only gate he could enter through was the eastern gate, into this crowd of people. And it's so beautiful. It said, when the multitude saw him, where is it? When the multitude saw him, they raised their voice and praised God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. They said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace." So Jesus is coming on a donkey towards the crowd. What we should know about this crowd is they were waiting for a military leader. They were suppressed and oppressed by the Romans. They wanted someone to come and free them from this. They didn't need anyone to tell them that they needed salvation. They had this urge to feed this hunger for freedom. And here comes Jesus on a donkey, Now kings came into cities on horses. When they were victorious into battle, to signify we had the victory over the enemy, they would come on a horse. When they would come into a city that's not their own, they would come in on a war saying, you're either going to submit or you will have war. And here comes Jesus on a donkey. Kings came into cities on donkeys when they said, we are here for peace. We want relationship with you guys. We're coming on a donkey. So the Jews are waiting. They know the signs. They're trained. They're looking for the Messiah. They're waiting for their war hero. They see a prince on a donkey saying peace. Still they responded, Hosanna, blessed is the King. In that split second, they read the signs, remember the prophecies, but their spirits called out and said that this is King. Although it wasn't the picture, in that minute, their spirits called out. What is also very interesting for me here to see is the word they used when they were praising Jesus, Hosanna. Now, we know Hosanna as a shout of praise, a shout of victory. If we look at Psalm 118, verse 25, where they use Hosanna, it's a cry of distress. If we look at that, it says, save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. If you read that in Hebrew, it goes like this. Hosanna, Lord, Lord, Hosanna. It's a cry of distress. Yet here in Jerusalem, the people are crying it out. They're shouting it out triumphantly. They're shouting, help us, triumphantly. It's because they saw, their spirit saw what they were not ready to see yet. They responded without really knowing what they were responding to. You see, sometimes we totally forget that we are spiritual beings, that we were created for relationship with God. We look at everything around us. We see reality. We take in with our senses. And we think that we know exactly what our solution is. We were like the crowds in Jerusalem. They thought they needed Messiah, a savior, a war, a battle to put these Romans into place. Yet they needed a prince of peace. I have a friend. And if I can draw a picture of her to show how she lived her life, I will draw her as an octopus clinging to Jesus. And the other day, I'm talking to her on the phone, and she said, Melindy, I've been through so many things in my life, but I'm telling you that I think that I am facing the biggest challenge I've ever faced. Sometimes I am so scared I want to run away, but I have never felt more at peace. She is there, she's seeing everything around her, and she's clinging on to Jesus, and she knows He has the victory. Another thing that we see in our passage is in verse 35, and they said that when Jesus was going into Jerusalem, the people throw their cloaks on the colt, and then they spread their cloaks on the floor or on the road. Now these guys, Marty Solomon called them ragtag disciples. They were not the rich and famous. Most of Jesus' disciples were common people, poorer people. And they maybe had two cloaks, an outer cloak and an inner one, a top garment and an inner garment. So when they put the cloaks on the road, it's not the extra one they brought in case it got cold. It's the one they were wearing. And doing that, they would expose themselves. Not indecently, but still, they would be humbled by this. They would give everything they have and put it in front of Jesus. That told me so much about how we need to be in this moment, how we need to accept Jesus, how we need to, where we should be when we want Him to let Hosanna can be a cry of victory. It's when you give everything you have in that moment. And usually when I prep for a sermon, I would go for a run. I would put on my running shoes. And as I run, it feels like the ideas fall into place. This time, it felt like it wasn't working. It felt to me that every time I started running, the words would like hop around in my mind. And in one of these runs, I stopped. And as I stopped, I felt Holy Spirit telling me that this time I'm not going to give it to you while you're running. This time you're not going to work for it. We're not going to faith it out. You're going to wait for it. So this morning, we don't have 3 P's or 4 E's or step 1, 2, and 3 of how to apply this. We only have what we are, who we are, who I am. So we are going to remember. We are going to remember that God is not stuck in time. We live our life. We are born, we live, we die, eternity. God is not living like that. When Jesus came into Jerusalem on the donkey, he was already victorious. He had already conquered death because in God, that promise was already fulfilled. That is why the people could cry out, Hosanna, triumphantly, because it already happened. It was still to come, but it already happened. This is evident in Luke's words, where he said that the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God. That was just after they laid palm branches. Luke said this 30 years before Revelation was written. Listen to the words in Revelation. It's in Revelation 9, verse 9. And by the way, it wasn't Luke that wrote Revelations. It was another disciple. It said this, a great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples, was standing before the Lamb with palm branches in their hands. Luke is seeing this, and his spirit is responding. And he's saying, the multitude is standing in front of the King with palm branches. He's saying what already happened. Because with God, our victory is now, even though it was then. It's now, even though it's still coming. It's now, even though nothing around us is changing. We are standing victorious in who He is, in what He has done, in what He will do, and having the peace now. Being so scared that we want to run away, but never being more at peace than we are now. The other thing that we should remember is that when Jesus came, when he died on the cross, he didn't die only for our sin. His salvation was complete. It didn't only restore us in relationship with God. It restored our reality. If we see in Romans 8, in Luke 19, the last verse, the Pharisees are telling Jesus, quiet your disciples. And he said, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Remember us in the Garden of Eden. Not us, but us as human, Adam and Eve, symbolizing us, walking with Jesus, close relationship. The minute sin entered, we were removed from the garden, but that desire for relationship never went away. Eden is a perfect picture of God and man and creation in harmony. So even though we are longing to see God, creation is longing for Jesus to come. Romans 8, verse 22, it says this. For we know that the whole creation has been growing together in the pains of childbirth until now. Listen to this verse. It says, the verse before that, Creation itself will be set free from bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That sentence is said about creation, but it sounds as if it was said about my life. Freedom of corruption and this oppression of our finances, of our struggles in our families, of our struggles in the workplace, our country, and along with us, creation is crying out to bring back the harmony. And Jesus is saying, when he came into Jerusalem, he did that. When he died on a cross, he did that. So that we can be back in harmony, complete salvation in Jesus. In Psalm 42, the writer is comparing himself to a deer in the desert. And he's saying, I long for you, God, as a deer that's panting for water. In verse 7, he said, as deep calls out to deep. That is us. Our deepest, deepest being crying to the deepest being of God. That is salvation. Giving everything we have and waiting to connect with him. I want us to see what happened. Jesus came down from the east, down the mountain of Olives. He passed Gethsemane. He entered through the eastern gate. As he was going through the gate, the temple was right in front of him. Behind the temple was Golgotha, where he would be crucified. He came down on the donkey willingly. Jesus descended from heaven willingly. He came down to us, interceding for us, still intercedes for us to this day. And he willingly fought our battle for us, his church, on the cross, so that we can experience eternal salvation, so that we can in every situation cry out, Hosanna, triumphantly, because he already did all the work. I want us to remember that it wasn't a once-off event. It happened, but it's still happening for us. And even every day, Jesus can enter into our lives as the Prince of Peace, bringing peace every day. We are in a position where we can look at reality every day and choose to react in, with our spirit and accepting him in all that we are every day. I'm going to ask Serge and the band to come up. And today we're going to just respond. We're not going to go out and do things and remember things except what Jesus did. Father God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you that we can remember and respond and remember again and cling on to you and receive your peace. Father God, as we respond now with a Hosanna, may this not be our last Hosanna. May we never stop to remember who you are. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let's worship Him. Wandering through the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul. This bag of bones, and I tried with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not alone. He picked me up and turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I've been the master, I've been the savior.
Come on.
Because he healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I've been the master, I've been the savior. I thank God. I cannot deny what I've seen. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind.
Come on.
So long to my old friends, to burden and bitterness.
You can't just keep it moving. Nah, you're welcome here.
From now till I walk the streets of gold, I sing of how you've saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. He picked me up and turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I've been the master, I've been the savior. Because he healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I've been the master, I've been the savior. Thank God.
Church, let's sing like we're free this morning. Let's sing like we believe it. Are you ready? Let's go.
Hell lost another one. I am free.
Come on.
I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free.
Yes, we are free.
Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free.
Say hell.
Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am
thank
free.
You, Jesus.
Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free.
Oh,
I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. He picked me up and turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I've been the master, I've been the savior. He healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I've been the master, I've been the savior.
Us to leave here before we have opportunity to say, God, I want to cling to you. And maybe there's some people here that have never taken that step, that have never responded in their spirit and saying that maybe you are the salvation, maybe you are who I have been waiting for, even if I've never known it before this day. And if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Say, God, this is me. I'm giving, I have nothing, but I'm just giving who I am. And maybe some of us, has wandered a bit. Or maybe we made all the plans and God was there with his peace, but he wasn't responding how we thought he should be responding, and we missed it. And we realize, God, I want to say, Hosanna, save me. If that is you, raise your hand. Say, God, Hosanna, save me. And I know you have thoughts of where. You have areas, you have situations, you have relationship in your mind right now. Today we want to say that together. Hosanna. And Serge, I think we should sing that choir again. And if you know you are that person and you need to hand over, to put down your cloak, that situation, that relationship, your life, raise your hand as you sing this choir to say, Hosanna, you are my Savior. Blessed is a king who arrives on a donkey.
He picked me up and turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank Master, I thank Savior, because he healed my heart. He changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank Master, I thank Savior, because he healed my heart. He changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank Master, I thank Savior, because he healed my heart. He changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank Master, I thank Savior, because he healed my heart. He changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank Master, I thank Savior, I thank God.
Let's give the Lord a round of applause. How amazing was that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Melinda, for faithfully delivering the Word of God this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Your notes are very small. I don't know how you see these. Reminder, church, this coming Friday, we're meeting up. Please come through our One Place Friday meeting on Good Fridays on 9 a.m. at the Refinery, New Gen. Before that, we are meeting for prayer on Tuesday, our monthly prayer meeting. That's at Bizweni campus. And then on Sunday, we're meeting here. I want to bless you with the goodness of God. As you spend this Sunday, may all those small little miracles and the big ones, may they come unto remembrance. And just like those crowds that were in Jerusalem, may a Hosanna erupt from you. May some praise erupt from you. And when people ask you, like, what's going on with you this week? Like, I remember what God has done for me. And you can share the gospel. God bless you guys. See you on Tuesday at prayer, on Friday, and then on Sunday. Amen.